was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. I'm going to tell you what, I am so excited for today's guest today. We are going to learn a lot. And just to jump into it, introduce him, Dr. Kelly Starrett was listed on Greatest 2017 list of the 100 most influential people in health and fitness. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a performance coach of some of the best teams and organizations on this planet. Dr. Starrett is a three-time New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling co-author of Becoming a Supple Leopard, Ready to Run, and Built to Move. He's also a co-founder with his wife, Julie Starrett, of the fitness website, The Ready State, which has the world's most comprehensive collection of guided movement, mechanics, and mobility instructional videos. In his athletic career, Dr. Starrett paddled whitewater slalom canoe on the U.S. canoe and kayak teams, where he led the men's whitewater rafting team to two national titles and also competed in two world championships. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for bringing up like my highlights of being like basically a teenager. It's so great.
Hey, I know that you keep things going. You stay active, and that is awesome. And congratulations on some of the amazing things that you've got going on. Author, speaker, world-class athlete. It's all good stuff. So we're excited to visit with you and learn a little bit about the Ready State and some of the things that you have working on. Let's just jump in right there. I do want to talk a little bit about your program, The Ready State. Tell us a little bit about what that is and what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. You know, when we talk to people about their experience on this planet, you know, it's complicated. And let's start with the assumption that one, human beings are pretty remarkable. We've been around for a long time. We are the most sophisticated structures in the known universe, attached, and that's just your brain, attached to an incredible biology, an incredible body that's designed to play, go hard in the paint, explore, for really built for over 100 years of hard use. And so when one of the things that we specialize in is, one, saying to people, hey, how can we get more out of this body so that you can go faster, you can go longer, you can do it over and over again? How do we reduce the session cost of the things you love, whether that's playing for the All Blacks or the English national soccer team or the NFL, or you like to ride your mountain bike? I'm a middle-aged, just, you know, bro dad who just likes to be the best middle-aged mountain biker in my neighborhood. And then the other side of that, it turns out, is that when we apply the lessons of high performance, the things we learn in this laboratory of going faster, of going bigger, we're able to really understand sort of signal from noise, which means we can apply these same sets of principles to how do I get out of pain? How do I maintain my movement choice? How do I keep my body feeling good so that I can do the things that are important to me and my family? And that may be things that I don't know about in the future. Well, maybe I want to go on an adventure. Maybe I want to jump into something crazy. How do I prepare my body for that? So one of the things that we see is that there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of confusion about what's required to take care and feel good in our bodies. And our website is simply aimed at democratizing this information, pulling out the medical professionals who aren't really germane to this conversation because it's not always injury, it's not always trauma, and say, what can you do in your home with your family to take care of your body?
I love it. Now, you focus on this concept, which interestingly enough is kind of a newer concept in wellness, and that is mobility.
Mm.
I know when I was a high school athlete, we would talk about stretching and flexibility. But recently, I would say the last couple of years, we're starting to hear a lot more about this concept of mobility. So from a wellness, kind of a modern wellness standpoint, how do you define that?
Well, let me just go on record, and I'm just going to toot my own horn for a second. We're the reason that you hear the word mobility.
When we
started making this content and sort of shifting this narrative about who owns what and where are we going to get this work done, one of the words that we chose upon was this idea of mobility, which meant, can I, on a sort of, if I was talking to my family, I would say, what is it that you want to do in your family and in your job and in your recreation? That's what mobility is. Can you access these positions and ranges and tissue systems, and they go do something that matters to you. On the highest level of the spectrum, we might say, can you access your native physiology, the range of motion that every physical therapist, physician, orthopedist says you should have, right? We have these normative ranges that, like, you're not that special. Your shoulder moves X in such amount. Your hip should move this amount. And then how do we also teach you to control that? So a lot of what we're doing when we are in the weeds, the two things that we can really control are native range of motion, restoring that for people and giving them tools and tactics to do that, including lifestyle behavior, sort of mods. And then the other thing is sort of how can we measure that? Well, it's measured through improved wattage and power. So we call that biomotor output. So you should be able to hike that hill with greater efficiency and less soreness the next day. And underneath all that, you should be able to exist in your world day to day in a pain-free state. And a lot of us don't have that privilege. A lot of us have the patina of use and we have jobs and we've got injured. And how can we get our brains on board to understand that, hey, there may be some aging aspects of our tissues, but there's a lot we can do that's in our control to make ourselves feel better.
So I want to focus on that just a little bit as well, particularly for our audience. We're talking about senior athletes. These are individuals who have decided to stay in the game, to stay engaged, want to compete in the sport of their choice, and a variety of different goals too. Some just want to do it because they can do it, and I don't want to give up on the things that I want to do. And then, of course, there are others that are like, hey, I'm in it to win it. I want to set world records for my age group, a wide variety of different approaches to sports and wellness from that standpoint. But let's talk about kind of a standard range of motion that we should be able to do certain things with our shoulders and our knees should do certain things. Yeah. Talk a little bit about aging and how that factors into that versus, working with maybe a younger college or a high school athlete. And are there differences in your approach?
Well, it's such a great question. And what we can start by saying, do you remember? I mean, people ask me all the time. I'm a AARP member. I'm over 50. People ask me all the time, would you ever want to be younger again? I'm like, no way. But I would love to be able to treat my 17-year-old body the way I did with such, you could cut off my hand when I was 17 and it would grow back overnight. So that was really wonderful. But what I'll tell people is that as we're trying to understand what we're capable of, at no age do we stop healing. At no age do our bones stop adapting, our muscles stop adapting. So at some point, we may see slower adaptation responses. It may be more difficult to pack on 10 kilos of lean muscle when you're 50 than it is when you're 20. But one of the things that we can absolutely control is our tissue health. Are we congested? Are our tissues robust and healthy? Are we getting enough, fiber and micronutrients? Do we get enough sunlight? Do we get enough sleep? Do we feel loved and safe in our community? Are we drinking water? Are we decongesting? And then also we can say, hey, do you have access to your range of motion? Because guess what doesn't need to change over your lifespan? And that is your range of motion. In fact, it's one of the few aspects. Chances are your VO2 is going to decay a little bit. You're going to lose some muscle mass. You may not be as powerful when you're 50 as you were when you're 20. Sorry, news update. But what we're realizing is that this old slow rot sort of model of aging, it's really old. It doesn't actually fit with what we're seeing, especially in this generation. My friends in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and 70s right now are slaying. And what I'll say is that we didn't realize that we're even capable of this a generation ago. So as I begin to parse out and say, what can I control? One of the things I can absolutely control is my range of motion, access to my range of motion. And if you ever jumped into a Pilates class, that's what I'm talking about. If you've ever done yoga, that's what I'm talking about. You can't go to the Olympics doing yoga, but yoga is going to ask you to do things like flex your knees and take a breath as you rotate and be able to at least give your brain and tissues sort of exposure to some of these fundamental positions that we may or may not understand as important to us. So really the most important conversation is, what does my day-to-day look like? And what are the sort of minimum viable steps that allow me to continue to use my body in the way I want to? And that is sort of the hallmark of this whole conversation. Where and when are we going to put these behaviors in? Because it can't just be doing more reps on the Peloton or more heavy deadlifts. That doesn't always get us there.
So I appreciate what you just said. I don't know if I loved hearing some of it. I'll tell you what I did love hearing, and that is that the degradation of our ability to move doesn't have to be the case. Like, we can continue to move. You talk about this range of motion. So in the people that you work with, you're seeing success in older individuals, athlete or otherwise, in being able to continue to move their joints as they get older in the same way that they moved when they were younger. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and some of that may be that we need to, you might not be able to handle the volume that some of our younger kids do. You might not be able to move at the speeds that some of our younger kids can. But look, if I took a picture of your face now and compared it to your 17-year-old face, and I blew those things up, I'd be like, look at the degeneration of your face. Like, oh my God, you're falling apart. You look ancient. And yet you're like, it's still my face. My face is still kicking butt. We're going to see changes in our tissues. We're going to see rough joint surfaces, those traumas of you, those big falls, the times where you may have had kids or you worked shift work, and like, we cut you in half and count the rings. There's going to be years of forest fires, years of droughts.
Yeah.
But that doesn't speak to how we are. It doesn't speak to that we should feel pain. It doesn't necessarily speak to the fact that we shouldn't be able to access these ranges. And so oftentimes, what we're really trying to do is create this sort of systematic approach where we have this environmental component. We're saying, hey, here are some benchmarks. Let's make sure we get those things on board. Like, you cannot be elite and sleep 5 hours a night. I don't care who you are. That's horse crap, right? So at least we know that, hey, there's some things that we need to really be on. Are you getting enough protein? Do you get micronutrients? Do you get sunlight? I really mean, like, those things are really important. And then simultaneously, we need to ask ourselves, hey, how am I moving? Because it's, right now we're in this sort of longevity hustle, right? Where we're seeing people talk about the blueprint, and if you drink this special olive oil and you do these blood tests, but that doesn't sort of tell you how to move. And if it was just about putting muscle on, let's give everyone steroids and blood flow restriction cuffs. And, and if we need to go fast, we'll just start doing more cocaine. I mean, we have solved this out, but what we know is that that is not the solution to this. And that the solution is practice, load, exposure, downregulation, and recovery. One of the things that I think, we should be kind of thinking about is, well, if I'm doing a sport, how am I training for that sport? And how do I keep an eye on my minimums? Because there's a lot of people, for example, who are love to run into when we're past 50. But all of a sudden they're like, my knee hurts. And then when we start to ask the question and tug at that a little bit, I'm like, hey, your knee is stuck bent at 90 degrees. You have no hip extension. Your calves are like boards. And it turns out your knee is not the problem. You need to take your knee out on a thank you date for putting up with your crap for so long. And remember, we all come from somewhere. We all come from some tradition. And so we all are sort of terminal exposures or terminal sort of expressions of the way we've learned. Well, now what we're saying is, hey, we may need to sit on the ground a little bit more. We need to spend a little bit more time warming up and cooling down, or keeping an eye on these old tissues, or making sure that we're getting blood panels regularly so that we know that our tissues can take the kinds of loads that they need to. And it may mean that you have to do some things like jump roping every day to keep your calves on board, but you can't go 2 or 3 months sort of just doing the thing you love to do and not keep an eye on the baselines. And I think when we start to give people that information, we believe that they're the best arbiters of knowing where they're going to put that in their lives. When do you fit that into your busy schedule? Well, maybe it's 10 minutes before you go to bed. Maybe you roll around on the ground having your coffee and your first email, and that's when you open up your hips. And so suddenly we can start to make this much easier to get inputs in so that you can then, again, the goal is not to just make it to retirement, but is to be, stealing a car with your best friend when you're 100, racing away from the cops, with your girlfriend. I mean, that's really, and the girlfriend, of course, in this case, is my wife. So
Of
the
course.
idea here is, I don't think we've set the bar high enough. And that some of the people listening to this are those expressions of what's possible, but that's normal for human beings, not atypical.
I really appreciate that. And I think that's a message that needs to be just shouted from the rooftops. I feel like one of the things that I have learned in being involved with this event, the Huntsman World Senior Games, in watching athletes come year after year or first year, it doesn't matter, but to just do things that we consider just incredible and amazing. But those things are available to us, right? They're available to all of us. I'm not saying that you can be sedentary until you're 73 and then decide that you're just going to kill it on the javelin. Like, I'm not saying that. But it does feel like what I've observed in just watching people is that, you know, we're capable of so much more than oftentimes we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah. And what you'll see is we should be able to look at our best athletes. Look, right now I have a complicated relationship with sport. Sport is, we're seeing college sport. I work with universities, the money, the pro, it's bananas right now. And yet I'll say, show me a better way to understand yourself in the world, your understand in relationship to other people. Show me a better way to connect communities together, and it's sport. So we better not just treat sport like circus, but treat it as a living laboratory. So if we look at our best athletes, we say, is it just genetics and luck? No, it turns out they have high genetic drive to move. They've been walking their whole lives. They've been lifting weights since they were teenagers. They probably eat in a certain way. For example, if we hold the top athletes in the games, they would say things like, yeah, I really don't drink that much. Why? Because it was interrupting my ability to recover. And doesn't mean they don't drink or that drinking is not fun. But what you saw is that we start to see a set of behaviors that started to diminish our capacities to do work or handle volume or be fast or explosive or feel good. And then we can start to say, well, hey, I'm a big, big boy, big girl here. Maybe I don't eat cake every night. And maybe I need to up my step count. And I really want to try to get into bed a little bit earlier, right? So how do I begin to winnow those things down to essentials? And then where do I put them into my life so that I can rinse, wash, repeat these things for decades so that it doesn't feel like a heroic effort to get back to baseline, right? It feels like, yeah, I've built in a lot of capacity in the system. And I think that's sort of where we lose our minds a little bit. If you're lucky, if you had a track coach, you're lucky if your mom had a high genetic drive to move and you ate, you know, fruits and vegetables and meats growing up, right? You know, just because some of those things make it a lot easier to make sure that the body's getting what it needs. And further and foremost, you know, do you go out and play? Do you find joy in your community? Do you have reason to do this? All of these things matter. And we should be asking ourselves is today, how did I play? Okay, not so great, right? I was on deadlines and I only drank black coffee and I didn't eat very much. Tomorrow I'm going to play better. And every day we can almost treat this like a personal game where we invite our families along to do a little bit better.
I appreciate again what you said there. And I think the ability to look at where you're at and analyze, as you said, like today was the day I didn't do as well as I could have. I didn't play very well today. But acknowledge that in the big picture of things, maybe you have, you know, long-term habits that are playing to your benefit, or maybe the opposite is true and it's time to make some adjustments and some changes. I know in my life, I've had more legitimate success when I've tracked whatever it is, whether it's my diet or my exercise or whatever. And then I could look at like a calendar of a whole month and I can say, man, today I didn't even work out. I feel like such a slug. But then I look at the last 28 days and I hit, you know, 24 of those days and I can feel like, okay, maybe I'm not as bad as I think. And maybe there's certainly room for improvement, but hey, let's just stay this course. This stuff is working for me. And then when I don't track, then I'm just kind of loose, right? I'm just kind of wandering out there.
We always think that our future selves are going to be more motivated. You know, when we look at, trends like resting heart rate or heart rate variability or some, you know, these aspects that we want to really look at trends. I'm much more interested in what your sleep looks like over the last month, not individual days. We are tolerant, jump on a red eye, go take a crushing meeting and come back intact to your family. You're going to be destroyed. So that's okay. That's a feature of being a modern person. But when we start to say, okay, I'm just going to get back on board and do the boring work. One of our friends who's a nutrition, you know, guru says, you know, we need bone crushing consistency and it's not heroic. We say, don't be heroic, be consistent. And for example, tonight, what I want you to do, if you're listening to this, I want you to sit on the ground while you're watching TV. I know you're watching TV. We're all watching TV. So for the next 30 minutes tonight, I want you to sit on the ground during that time. And you can sit in any position you want to, cross-legged, side saddle, long sitting, crisscross applesauce. It doesn't matter, but what you're going to see is, wow, my hips are tight. holy moly, this is loading my hamstrings. So what we start to say is, man, there's a lot we can do, but I want the exposure, and exposure is the game. You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter. I make her breakfast. I have two daughters, one in college, one who's a superstar water polo player. And one of the things that we do is that I've been making my kids breakfast every day for as long as I can remember. Why? Because I get to control what they eat for breakfast. Because when they leave the house, I don't know if we're going to have any control again. So there's a fermented food in there. There's these really high quality vitamins. They drink in emergency. There's a protein, right? There's good carbohydrates. There's some fruits. Like, and I'm like, here's your, you know, your go pack. And I've tricked my 15-year-old daughter into taking fish oil. Do I think fish oil is a miracle food? No, but these essential omegas she does not get because she does not like fish. But what happens if we start to give her these exposures of these best practices for decades? And that's when we start to see the changes. And I think the problem with being a human is that we think in such short term timescales, because that serves us. But if you project it forward and say, what do you want? What's it look like for you to be physically at 80? Like, literally, you probably have done this with retirement, right? You've worked backwards. So do it with your physicality. Set some goals. And if you were going to go for a world championship this year, I would say, here's the world championship day. Let's work backwards. We have 20 weeks. We're going to divide this in. Here are our metrics. Everyone understands that. But let's go ahead and do that with you. I want to ride my mountain bike and shred on my skis when I'm 80. Well, what are the steps that are going to get me there? And I think when we start to think in those longer terms, then these small behaviors are easy to wrap our heads around.
Perfect. Absolutely. I love that concept of working backwards. We've got about a minute and a half. We've talked about a lot of things. We've even wandered around just a little bit. You've got 90 seconds. What do we need to know to live the best life? How do we get there?
You've got to just do a little bit better on your sleep. That could be 30 minutes more a night. I want you to sit on the ground. I want you to walk 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day, even if you're an elite athlete. Why? Because I'm going to see healthier tissues, better decongestion of those tissues, and you're going to accumulate enough non-exercise activity that you're going to fall asleep. I want you to get 800 grams of fruits and vegetables. I don't think you eat enough fruits. I don't think you eat enough vegetables and fiber. I want you to up your protein. As you're over 50, it's closer to 1 gram of protein per pound body weight. Stop messing around with this, right? And then suddenly, if you something hurts, stop blunting the check engine light with bourbon and ibuprofen. Stop that. Start to be curious about what our bodies are saying. And if something hurts, recognize pain is a request for change. Pain doesn't mean trauma. And there's so many things you can do to make yourself feel better so that you can get about moving again.
Where can people find additional information? Where do we find you?
If you are really interested in sort of just having some benchmarks and some baselines, some vital signs, go to builttomove.com. We've got a book out this year. I think you'll find it. You can really help you illuminate some blind spots. If you're ready to take the next step and improve your performance and get out of pain, thereadystate.com. We've got a great app. And simple down regulation. You've got a ball and a roller, some daily follow along videos. I guarantee you, there is hidden bars of gold at your feet. If we just unlock your positions and potential, you're going to feel better and go faster.
Awesome. Give us those two websites one more time.
BuiltToMove.com, TheReadyState.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us today. We appreciate all your information that you've got available on your websites that you shared with us today. Great things to think about and hopeful. That's what I loved about it. Like, there's hope out there. We don't have to dwell or drag in the mud. We can rise up above and shine and fly if we need to, right?
So say we all.
Awesome. Awesome. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, just a couple of reminders for everybody out there. Team registration is now open. Honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you. In almost every team sport, except for basketball right now, we've pretty much reached our participation caps. But that doesn't mean there is no hope. So if you are a team manager, get your team on the waiting list. That's easy to do. Just go to seniorgames.net, go through the registration process. And if your division is full, you can get yourself on the waiting list. We will have teams that will drop out. We want to have teams that can replace them. That's how you do it. Get it on the waiting list. Also, remember that individual athlete registration opens on March 1st at the stroke of midnight. So put that on your calendars and get ready for that March 1st. And then we want to talk about next week's show, originally from Spain. Next week's guest is Alfredo Aliaga. He now lives in Berlin, Germany. Alfredo set a Guinness World Record at the end of October 23 as the oldest person to have hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim, which is a 24-mile hike. Oh, and by the way, Alfredo is 92 years old. So tune in next week. We can't wait to hear his story. We want to remind you to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show, we turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that podcasts are found. If you are listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating or write a review. That really helps to spread the word. You can also find this and previous shows right on our website. Once again, that is seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought: don't tell everyone your plans. Instead, show them your results. Until next Thursday, stay active.